Welcome to the podcast of Reverend Daniel Agbesi. Reverend Daniel Agbesi is the founder and head pastor of Peacekeepers Assembly International, located at Kwabena, adjacent to the community hospital. Reverend Daniel preaches on righteousness, faithfulness, godliness, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. He is the epitome of a virtuous man. Now, let's listen to Reverend Daniel.
Okay, let's go into today's preaching. Today's sermon title is The Power of Prayer and Fasting. The Power of Prayer and Fasting. Luke chapter 4, verse 1 and verse 2. And then we'll read verse 13 and 14 also. Luke 4, 1, 2. The Bible says, Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days, he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. Amen. Now, verse 13 to 14. The Bible says, Now, when the devil had ended every temptation. Interesting. He departed from him until an opportune time. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. In verse 1, we saw that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. But this time around, we are seeing him returning in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And news of him went out through all the surrounding region. Praise be to God. Shout the power of prayer and fasting. Amen. People of God, there is power in praying and fasting. The power that comes from prayer and fasting is as a result of God's commitment in your life. Anywhere God gets committed to a people, anywhere God gets committed to a thing, power is evidential. Anywhere God works, there is display of his power. Are you hearing me at all? And God moves powerfully in a place where fasting and prayer is present. Now hear me. Fasting, though it is a physical act of obedience to God, it brings about great reward to God's people. Fasting is a physical act. There are many physical acts that we engage ourselves in that have bearing on the spiritual, to make the spiritual to respond positively to us. Anytime we are worshiping God, we lift up our two hands. It's a physical act, but it has a bearing over the spiritual. Anytime you lift up your hands in worship, you are telling God that I surrender all my battles to you. In this season, I want you to fight for me. And anytime you lift up your hands in worship, God takes up your battle. It's like Moses when he sat on the mountain with his two hands lifted and the Israelites were fighting in the valley. The Bible said the Israelites defeated the Amalekites. Why? Somebody was in worship with his two hands lifted. I pray for you that in this season, as you worship God with your two hands lifted, may he take over all your battles. I said, may he take over all your battles in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the physical, we clap our hands. In the physical, we shout unto the name of the Lord. These things are physical, but they have spiritual bearing. Fasting is a physical act, but it provokes the supernatural to respond to us. Amen. Amen. Fasting is also a necessary tool to draw the favorable attention of God over our lives. When any time you fast, you are drawing the favorable attention of God upon your life. And when you add prayer to it, what you are doing is that you are committing God into every affair of your life. Praise the Lord. Are you still there? So it is easy to attract the mercy of God and experience a shift during the time of fasting and praying. I declare as we fast in this season, may the mercy of God locate you. I say, may the mercy of God come upon you. May you experience a total shift into the next dimension of your life. Shout amen like you are following. Amen. Hear me. The purpose of fasting and praying, the intent, the reason why we fast and we pray, is to receive God's power. The power of God. Why is it that important? We fast and we pray to receive what? The power of God. And what is the reason for the power of God? The reason for the power of God is so that we can become what we are not. Praise be to God. Power is the only reason why a man's life can change into something he is not. Listen, one day I was going to preach somewhere, and I think my father was around that time. I think this is like 3 years ago. And he said, oh, he wants to go with me to go preach. And so when I was preaching, I saw him climbing the steps of the pulpit. He took out his phone and he was taking me picture. And I heard him say, is this my son? Is this my son? In the church, as I was preaching, I went with him. He was climbing the stairs, pulled out his phone. Because he gave birth to me, but what I have become, he doesn't know. He doesn't know how it has happened. The power of God had translated me into who I have become. Oh, you are not here today. Listen, I don't know where you are in life, but the power of God will transform you. The power of God will change you. You may be down there in life, but after this service, you will be up there to the glory of God. Shout amen like you are hearing God's word. A man who will experience real transformation must be that man who has encountered the supernatural power of God. Hear me, the power of God can change a nobody. It can change somebody the family considers as nothing. So that when they are having meetings, they don't call you. They don't even text you to tell you why. They consider as a nobody. The power of God can transform you also to become a somebody. After today, you are becoming a somebody. You will matter in your family. You will matter among your friends. Shout, I receive the power. Hear me? The power of God is capable of changing your story through and through. Maybe your life story is not pleasant. It's not sweet. It's full of regrets. It's full of shameful activities that took place in the past. But the power of God can transform you so much so that people cannot connect you to your past life. Stretch your hands towards the altar. I pray for you from this altar. The power that changes the story of men, let that power come upon you. I said, let that power come upon you. May your story change this year. In the name of Jesus, clap your hands to God's word. So that is why we fast and pray. It is to receive the power of God. Many people think that they know the power of God. But you know a thing when you begin to benefit from the thing. Once you don't benefit from God's power, you don't know his power at all. I pray that you will know God's power today. Listen, without electric power, every gadget we are using will become very useless. Amen. Pastor Lassie, I want you to go to the switch of the light. As we are here right now, because of the flow of electric power, these gadgets are useful. I need you to switch off the lights. Let me show you something so that you understand. Switch off the lights. As long as they are disconnected from the power source, they are totally useless. There are many people who are useless in life. It's not because God does not love them, but because they are not plugged to the supernatural power of God. Switch it on again. As it is switched on, the reason it is useful that we can have light is because they are connected to electric power. Stretch your hands towards the altar. This year I prophesy, by the power of God, your destiny will shine. I said, by the power of God, your destiny will shine. Because you are fasting and praying, you are reconnected to the power of God. May you shine in every area. May your career shine. May your business shine. May your destiny shine. Receive the power. Shout and receive the power of God. Clap your hands to the preaching of God's word. Amen. No matter the promises God has made to you, if you are not connected to his power, you will not see the reality. As long as these lights are beautiful, even the one in front can change colors. If it's not connected to power, we will not see its usefulness. It's not that you were born as an accident. All that you need in this season is to be connected to the power of God. And hear me, if you ever have lasting impact, if only you want your destiny to shine, you need to be connected back to the power of God. And in this fasting and prayer season, I see fresh power coming on your life. I say, I see fresh power coming upon your life. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Mary said to the angel of God, angel, you are saying very beautiful things to me today. That what you are saying is sweet to my ears. But I don't have a man to make these things come to pass. Then the angel said, when it comes to certain level of transformation, you don't need a man. All that you need is that the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. I pray for you in this season in the name of the Lord Jesus that the Holy Spirit will come upon you after this morning. May the power of the Most High God overshadow you, overshadow you, overshadow you. May your story change. In the name of Jesus, clap your hands to God's word. What is power? What is spiritual power? What is supernatural power? Power, ladies and gentlemen, is the hidden ability of God in the life of an individual that produces the realities of manifestations, of intentions, expectations and dreams. Amen. The hidden ability of God. Anytime you get close to an individual that God is blessing him, I don't know whether you've come around very powerful people before. When you come around very powerful people, some of them don't sound very intelligent or very smart. But it looks like anything they touch, the thing is working. There is a hidden ability of God in them that is bringing the result you are seeing. Any intention they have, any dream they have, any expectation they have in a year, they are able to fulfill it. Why? The ability of God, which is power, is working in them. We have people who would die without seeing their prophecy fulfilled, not because they are not hardworking, but because there's no power in their lives. There are people who have a lot of ideas, who are disciplined, but many of them would die without seeing their expectations met because they lack power. There are many people who carry a lot of ideas, who carry a lot of skills, but the skills will amount to nothing. They will not be able to give birth to it because they lack power. I see fresh power coming upon your life. I say, I see the power of God coming upon your life. This year, you shall carry your own miracle. You shall carry your own testimonies. When you shout amen, power is coming on you. The woman with the issue of blood for 12 years, doctors couldn't help her. She got connected with power. And the Bible said the fountains of her blood dried up. When you come in contact with power, satanic activities dry up in your life. Stretch your hands towards the altar. Any satanic altar in your father's house that is responsible for sponsoring sicknesses, sponsoring rise and fall, sponsoring stagnation, because you are making contact with the power of God, let that altar dry up. Let the altar dry up. Let the altar dry up. In the name of Jesus, receive that power this morning. Amen. Amen. Number two definition of power. I'm laying foundation. Number two definition of power. Power is the total invasion of the influence of divinity on matters of humanity to superimpose the way of God over the ways of men for sudden results. Listen, in the matters of humanity, there are protocols and legalities that a man must keep. And because of that, when you are following the protocol of life, there are many people that are in the queue. Hello? There's a brother of ours who is preparing to get married this year. He called me in the week and he said, "Pastor, something is happening." So what is happening? He said, the parents of the lady, they are now becoming very reluctant. They are saying that the elder sister of the girl is not married, and how this one is going to get married, they should slow down a bit so that the elder sister will get married first before she will get married. I said, "Son, are you listening to me?" Say yes. I said, if it was death that was coming, would they say that their eldest daughter should die first? Would they say that they are... Then he laughed. Then I realized faith has entered into him. I said, push that tradition aside and get married. I'm blessing your marriage. Hello? What is standing before him and his breakthrough is the tradition of men. There are many people who are in the queue of life because of tradition. There are some people, what is beating them is age. The time they were 24 years, the job that they want to have, they say, oh, the cutoff point is 26 years. They go there, they don't give them a chance. Now that they are 34, they say, oh, if you want to travel, 26 years is a cutoff point. It looks like age keeps beating you. They say, oh, if you don't have masters, you'll not be employed. Now that you have masters, they say they want SHS certificate. The attempt of men to keep you in the queue. You are coming up from that queue. I say, by the power of God, you are coming up from that queue. In the name of Jesus. I need a husband and wife to come. Let me illustrate something to you. A husband and wife. Hey, hey. I need three strong men to come. This man, this is his expectation. These are the protocol of men. Age. You are too old to marry. You are too young to marry. You don't have money to marry. Age. Okay, this age. You are too old, you are too young. This is money. Are you having money? Do you drive? Are you driving? You say you want to marry. When you go marry, where are you driving? You're not married. You don't have money. Do you have 3-bedroom self-compound house? This is the voice speaking. Your expectation is right there. This one cries what? Tradition of men. All tests in your father's house. Say, how do you want the marriage? How do you want the marriage? So you want to have your marriage blessed at the altar. Who has gotten marriage at the altar before? It's a voice speaking against you. Anytime you are making attempts forward, then they are pushing. Make attempts forward. You are meeting an officer. This one is meeting an officer. It's pushing you back. But in the day, power comes on you. With your left hand, sweep them to that side. Oh, sweep them. Sweep this one too. Sweep this one too. Embrace your wife. Yeah. I prophesy in this year, every protocol of men standing before you, by power we clear them out of your way. May you receive your expectation. May you receive your miracle. May you receive your next level. Shout them like thunder. For the three powerful men who stood here, we declare that limitation will not come upon your life. Clap your hands and celebrate God. Amen. The way of the spirit does not operate by the protocols of life. When it is your time, God will break every protocol to put you at the top. I'm just telling you that this year is your year. I want you to feel it in your spirit. I said, this year is your year. You may be the last in your family, but before this month will be over, you will be the first. Not by the power of man, but by the power of God. Shout yes. Hear me. The way of God is not certificate. It's not money. The way of God is favor. The way of God is mercy. The way of God is his grace. I don't know who is ready for the favor of God this year, but I see favor coming upon you. I see the mercy of God speaking for you. I see the grace of God working in your life. I don't care who has gone ahead in your family, but you are running and overtaking in the name of Jesus. Receive that fire. Give the Lord a clap offering. Amen. Power number three. Power is the expression of divinity in the affairs of humanity. Heaven has a say in your matters. Heaven has a say in your matters. There is a will and counsel about your state in life. It is not everything going on in your life that is the counsel of God. Sickness is not the will of God. To be delayed in life is not the will of God. Hello? To be poor in life is not the will of God. But I see heaven about to say something about your situation. Listen, listen, listen. Anytime heaven expresses itself in the affairs of men, things change. Lift up your right hand. Everyone here sick under the influence of my voice, before the next 5 minutes, be healed in the name of Jesus. Anyone connected to you that is sick, let the power of God heal them now. I declare by the power of the Holy Spirit, everyone who has been delayed so long in his life, in her life, I pray that the supernatural power of God, even supernatural acceleration, let it come upon your life. You will run and overtake in the name of Jesus. The poor person among us will become the richest in this year. Clap your hands and shout amen like thunder. Hear me, there is no price that is too high to pay when it is for you to become full of God's power. No price is too high. When a politician is in need of power, the politician will convince you. He will do everything possible so that you vote for him. When you vote for a politician, what you are doing is that you are transferring your power. You are giving your power to him. That I have power, but I've given it to you to rule over me, to take decisions on my behalf. When a politician is in need of power, he pays every price just to have your power. That power will transform them to become what they are not. They pay the price. They look like fools just to be powerful. You must pay the price of fasting and prayer. If you are tired of fasting, if you are tired of praying, you are giving up on your own destiny. Because nobody can pray, fast and pray power into your life to become a millionaire. At a certain point of your life, you must carry your own cross. When you are suffering from malaria, no matter how much I love you, I cannot take your malaria drug for you. You must fast. You must pray to attract the power of God that is able to transform a man. I don't care how bad your situation is, but it can change on the platform of power. The idea of fasting and prayer is not from a prophet. It's not from a pastor. But it is God's prescription to have a changed life. That is God's prescription. You see, when you go to the hospital, depending on the sickness you are diagnosed of, the doctor will prescribe certain drugs for you. The moment you follow it judiciously, you get healed. God is saying that to start a year, don't go about chilling. Seek my face with fasting and prayer. That is the only way you can change in a year. If you don't fast and pray, your year this year will be like your 5 years ago, your 4 years ago, your 3 years ago, your 2 years ago, a year ago. But if you fast and pray, things will change in your life. I see change coming your way. I say, I see change coming your way. Shout, I receive the power of God. Listen, there is no known secret to receiving God's power like fasting and praying. It is God's way of receiving power. Hear me? The Holy Spirit in the scripture we read, powerful. Then Jesus returned, take us to verse 1. And the Bible said, and the Spirit led Jesus to the wilderness to fast and pray. To do what? To do what? If the Holy Spirit is leading you, if God is leading you, he will not lead you to moving peak. There is a place for moving peak. But to start your life, he will lead you to where? To fast and pray. Praise be to God. That is how to receive power. So when we saw the account of Jesus in the scripture we read, in Luke chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. After he was baptized in River Jordan, Bible declares that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is an indication that you are anointed with the Spirit. Hello? Being anointed with the Spirit is different from being anointed with the power of God. Are you here, peacekeepers? Being anointed with the Spirit of God is different from what? Being anointed with the power of God. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. The Bible says how God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit and with power. So we have anointed with the Spirit, and we have anointed with the power of God. Amen. Before you receive the anointing of God's power, he must first of all anoint you with the Spirit, something we all call the anointing. Shout the anointing. So, Pastor, how can I get anointed? To get anointed, we must look at Jesus. He is the best example on how to receive the anointing. Praise be to God. Looking at Jesus as our perfect example, we saw that Jesus Christ was 100% God on earth, but he had to submit to the school of the Spirit in order to be anointed of the Spirit of God. He submitted to the school of the Spirit. How did he do it to receive the anointing of the Spirit? Jesus had a local church that he was a member of. Hear me, I'm coming to say something very sensitive. The thing about destiny is a serious thing. For you to play church, you must sit down if you are not sure. That God, which church have you ordained for my life? Who have you ordained to be my pastor? Because it is important. It is what determines the level of anointing that must come upon you to start with before receiving the power of God. Every church is not ordained for everybody. Jesus Christ had a church he attends. Where was his church? His church was in the wilderness, in the desert. There are a lot of synagogues in town. But when Jesus Christ wakes up in the morning, he goes to the wilderness. And the name of the pastor of that church is John the Baptist. He leaves town and enters where? The wilderness, just to attend church service. So you need to pray to God that God, who is my pastor? Because it is very important to help anointing come upon your life. There are many people in church, they are not anointed, and it's very risky. Amen. His pastor was called John the Baptist. The Bible said that John the Baptist does not dress like other pastors in town. His dress is made up of camel's hair. And number two, he wears pants and he has a leather belt. Just imagine in your head that you come here right now and I'm in a pant. Whitechapel pants. Is it Whitechapel? And I'm standing here with my belly, with leather belt on my waist. And I'm wearing a camel hair dress. And as you come here, I'm really sweating. You cannot look at me. God, you can't look at me without looking at my pants. But God said, Jesus, your pastor is John the Baptist. That's your pastor. Sit down in that church and open yourself to his teachings. He's preaching. That is your pastor. God told Jesus, that is your pastor. Sit there. So sometimes when John the Baptist is preaching, he'll point to Jesus and say, hey, this is the lamp of God. He's doing prophetic. That takes away the sin of the world. Then everybody say, amen. Amen. They don't know what he's talking about. Then one day he was speaking and said, I sense in my spirit that there is somebody. As a church member, you become greater than me. Whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. Though I baptize you in water, he will come and baptize you in the Holy Spirit and power. So Jesus submitted himself to his pastor. To understand that one day, his pastor was performing baptism. Jesus went for him to baptize him. Then John the Baptist, because he was a prophet, you know, this guy is bigger than me. In fact, he's not only a human being, but he is my creator. He said, sir, I can't baptize you. You are my God. Jesus said, please, pastor, let it be so. Allow it to be so. As long as John the Baptist will not allow it, Jesus will be stuck. Matthew chapter 3 from verse 1. And you know that John the Baptist is that pastor who preaches hard sermons. He himself will say, repent, give your life to Christ, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Judgment is coming. You will go to hell. His sermon is one way. Preaching salvation, judgment, repentance. But now that people have come to give their life to Christ, he said, why are you running away from the wrath of God? You brood of vipers. That's his pastor. He preaches hard. He preaches hard. He insults people. But God said, that is your pastor. Ask somebody, who is your pastor? Ask the person, does your pastor know that he's your pastor? Ask the person. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. He was not in town. Go ahead, verse 2. And saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Go ahead. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Those were his messages. Now, John himself was clothed in what? Camel's hair. For the fashion designers, you have a paw. Go and look for a camel. Maybe Qatar or Dubai, I don't know. Get their hair and come and give us some nice clothing lines. Camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. And his food was locusts and wild honey. The pastor eats only two foods. Locusts, they fry some, steam some, charcoal grill some. Then he eat it with wild honey. Yeah. Your pastor doesn't eat fried rice. Your pastor eats locust. Locust is like, it looks like grasshopper. Jesus Christ. And Jesus is a member of that church. Then, Jerusalem, all Judea and all the region around the Jordan went out where? To him. That's his church. Go ahead. The Bible says, and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. Verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers, you said they should repent. They have come. And now you are insulting them. But that is the pastor of Jesus. I'm just painting a picture to you. Jesus, your Savior, your Lord, your Maker. That's his pastor. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Well, you're not the one who was warning us. One of the one who used megaphone to be preaching at night. We have come to, you are insulting us. Controversial character. But still, that was Jesus' pastor. Go ahead. Therefore, bear fruit worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Now, if you say you don't repent, get out from the church. God can change these stones to become children. The guy is so sack. He's so rude, so careless. Jesus' pastor. And even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. From verse 13 to verse 17. Listen, then Jesus came to Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. Now, Jesus Christ had gone through the membership class. They've given him, maybe, I don't know whether he plays keyboard in the church or not. But time came for him to be baptized. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. This is pastor. But the pastor can see the future of his church member. But he said, no, the way you are great, you have to rather baptize me. Then Jesus said, 40, I need to be baptized by you. John the Baptist speaking. And are you coming to me? Verse 15. But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. Now look at where the anointing came. Verse 16. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. Verse 17. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Give the Lord a hand. How did the anointing of the Spirit come? It came by humility. It came by service. It came by being planted to a local church. Anointing does not fall on the wrong head. Are you hearing me? It came by people that have heavens opening over their heads are people that God himself will say, I have tested them and I can trust them with my spirit. Not the one that is jumping from one church. You can't walk under open heavens when you are like that. To walk under open heavens, you must be planted. Sometimes you receive anointing small, oil on your head small. Sometimes you receive rebuke. Sometimes a pastor make you laugh. Sometimes it is many things coming together. Then one day your heavens will just open. I pray an open heavens over your life. I pray an open heavens over your life. I pray an open heavens over your life. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Clap and receive open heavens. That is how God has ordained the anointing by the Spirit. That which causes the heavens to be open over the life of an individual. It comes by service, humility, availing yourself to the word of God. Amen. When you are anointed, it means that God has validated you. When you are anointed, it means what? He took his stamp, put it on you, bang, and he said, you are mine. Anyone who touches you, even in the wrong, God will react. Are you hearing me? Even God's signature is on you. The people that are fighting against you, they are fighting against you on a legal ground. What they are saying is true. But God said, who are you to judge another man's servant? He is mine. You can't judge him. Allow judgment to be mine. When you touch him, I will touch you in a bad way. I'm just telling you, in this year, people who say they'll fight you, they'll be put to shame. Hey, God will deal with them to the latter. To the outermost, shout yes. When you are anointed, God has invested his spirit into you. You become special in his eyes. He looks at you favorably. That is why anything you touch after you are anointed, the thing must work. It must work. It must. Amen. Bible said when he came out from the Jordan River, mind you, many people were baptized, but the heavens were never opened on any of them. But when Jesus Christ was being baptized, the heavens were open over him. One secret is that he was very prayerful. One secret is that we know where he goes to church. Amen. His pastor knows that this guy, one day after the anointing, he will leave me. But he was not worried at all. When the time came, he said, you can go. You can go and do your ministry. Amen. Then the Bible said, now we are going to the anointing of the power. We saw the anointing with the Spirit. We are going to see the anointing with the power of God. Are you ready? So when he came out from the water, where did he go? And the Spirit of God led him where? Into the wilderness to fast. Jesus is about to start his ministry, but the Holy Spirit has made him to fast and pray first. You see, to start anything in life, don't start without fasting and praying. In fact, if you really have the Holy Spirit, God leading you, he will lead you occasionally to fast and pray. A time comes that when you are eating by heart, God will talk to your heart. Hey, son. Hey, daughter. It's a long time you fasted and sought my face. So, hey, so won't you read the Bible? How many of you hear those voices? Oh, I know you are a pope, but you hear those voices. Like, you are there, then you hear, whether you hear from inside, but you don't know where you hear from, but you hear the voice. Ah, you are not praying to me. Oh. First, you used to pray for 10 minutes, not even 2 minutes in a day. My daughter, my child, what are you doing? Yes. It means that you have the leading of God still active in your life. When God is leading you, he will lead you to fast and pray before you can start anything. Praise be to God. So, what is fasting? Fasting is staying away from bodily pleasure to have an encounter with God. Staying away from what? Bodily pleasure to have an encounter with God. What is fasting? Fasting is the physical act of denying yourself bodily satisfaction to gain divine assistance. Amen. It is your deliberate, when you are fasting, it's your deliberate attempt to afflict your soul. When you are fasting, you like reggae music. We all know. Even your neighbors know. But when you are fasting, you don't play reggae music anymore. For the fasting period, you are starving your soul. You put away reggae. So even your body is calling for reggae. You say, no, let me seek the face of God. That means you are really fasting. It is costing you something. Bodily pleasure. Just to have attention for God and receive his assistance. Am I helping you this morning? Yes. Amen? Amen. Fasting and praying without an expectation to have an encounter will make you miss the reward of power. When you are fasting and you are praying, you must have serious encounter.
In fact, if you don't have any expectation, if you don't have any expectation, when we close from this service, we have 7 days to go to finish the fasting. Write your expectations down. Father, this year, I'm not doing it with my power. Last 2 years, I wrote some lists, some things, some call it resolution of the year, plan of the year, goal of the year. You've not done the I, the dot on the I. You've not, is it God, this year, I want your power to take over. Write it down. You must have expectations as you are praying, or else you will miss the power of God. Hello? Are you still there? The Spirit of God led Jesus to fast and pray to receive power before he could start ministry. Starting the year without fasting and praying leaves you with the outcome of the previous years. To have a spectacular year, you need the power of God. Now, advantages of fasting and praying, or the advantages of God's power in your life. You know, fasting and prayer is God's power. Amen? Fasting and prayer put the arsenals of God at your disposal. The easy access to many advantages in the spirit realm. Fasting gives you the needed weight and power to use the arsenals of God. Can I tell you something? The word of God, for example, is very heavy. You need some kind of strength in the spirit to lift God's word and make it work for you. Those times when we were young, we saw people who divided firewood. Those times we didn't have electric stove and gas stove. So you see some men, they usually don't wear shirts. I don't know why. Then they put a chisel in the firewood. The hammer is very heavy. When they lift it, you hear, When they lift it and they strike, you hear, Children don't lift that hammer. The word of God is heavy. You need weight in the spirit to be able to lift the word of God that will bring results in your life. Jeremiah 23, verse 29. Without the necessary weight, the word of God will look like an answer story to you, because it will not work. You can't apply it. You can't use it to pray. Look at it. It's not my word like a fire, says the Lord. And what? And like what? Do we use carpenter's hammer to break rock? You know that there's a particular hammer that is used to break rock. That hammer, children don't lift it. Jerry, that my son, he cannot lift that hammer. He can only cry around it. Amen. The word of God that brings about weightier manifestations. You need to fast to have the strength in your spirit to be able to apply God's word. Clap your hands. Number two, fasting and prayer gives you direction in life. I was fasting and praying many years ago because I was having ministry opportunities. I shared them with you over and over again. I prayed for someone in South Africa. He and the wife, they were renting a hall. They were going to help me with my visa, buy me tickets, and then they'll take care of my accommodation. It looks like a very good door, a good door. I was fasting to God, I was praying, I heard, no, you are not going anywhere. Stay, sit here. I said, I called them. I said, God said I shouldn't come. I said, man of God, this, your kind of annoyance. I said, hey, you said I should not come. Then I said, let me pray about my life. Then I started praying to God. Then God spoke to me that you start a ministry and the name is Peacekeepers Assembly. I said, yeah. Many ministries, something, something, Chapel International. Something ministry. My is Peacekeepers Assembly. When I heard the voice of God, I called Dr. Richard. He's here, you can ask him. And I called two other people. I said, the Lord spoke to me to start a ministry. He said, okay, if the Lord is the one who has spoken. So I asked God, how should I start? He said, start open air. Legon campus, open air. Humble beginnings. So when I went to Legon, the first church member is this, the lady Marianne and Lisa. She's in Germany enjoying. The voice, when you fast and pray, God directs you. There are some things that you are in, God is not in it. If God is in it, even if the thing is difficult and it looks like it is impossible, there is this cushion of assurance around you. Because it is God who has said it, something is telling you that this thing will turn around. And of course, it turns around. Give the Lord a clap of him. Amen. Acts chapter 13, verse number 2. When you fast and pray, you have the ability to easily hear the voice of God and know the direction you must take. Many people are confused in life. But you will not be confused this year. I say you will not be confused this year. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Saul was the one who became Paul. When they were fasting and they were praying, they said, "God, there are a lot of disciples here. A lot of people have zeal. A lot of people are fasting. Who should we send?" God said, "Two people, Barnabas, Saul, put them together. Saul is an apostle. Barnabas is a prophet. Send them. Separate them for me." Anytime you want to take a lifetime decision, marriage, career, the job you want to do, sister, brother, put your stomach down. Pray to God. Pray in your room. When God speaks to you, when you meet the pastor, you confirm it. Are you there with me? But when God does not speak to you, when you come to the pastor, when the pastor says something, it looks impossible. Because you say, Pastor, should I marry this one, this one, this one? And the pastor says, "Oh, this one has future." I say, "Pastor, what about present?" He said, "Present, he doesn't have. It's only future he has." But when you pray about it, you say, "Ah, it's true. Like, something tells me that he's the one. Though today, no. But tomorrow." Are you there with me? Give the Lord a clap of it. So when you fast and pray, God gives you direction. Number three, when you fast and pray, fasting and prayer is a measure against temptation. Amen. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 5. Temptation. When anytime you hear the word temptation, know that the headmaster is the devil. When you hear the word test, the headmaster is God. Amen. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time. He's talking about married people. That you may give yourself to what? Fasting and prayer. And come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Hear me. Temptation, the reason and the purpose of temptation is that the devil wants to keep you in one place for all the days of your life. Because when you are tempted and you fail, you don't calm down. You remain in the class. When you fail your exams, do you go back to P2 when you're in P3? No. They write what? Repeat. They don't write demoted. So you are there. But when God tests you, God is testing because he knows that you are ready to be promoted. So he will test you to promote you. When the devil tempts you, he keeps you in one place for a very long time. I shared the story of our sister with you on Friday. The one who has applied to over 300 institutions to travel to UK. It was not working. God said, "How many months should she stop sex?" Only 6 months. And now her UK visa is almost in. Only 6 months. Brother? Only 6 months. Look at how God is very merciful. God told me, tell her 6 months, she should not do the do. God knows, I ask for this, my daughter. If I say 1 year, she'll go and drink poison. So I told her, I said, God says 6 months. And when she stopped, he said, anytime my boyfriend come, "Pastor, I suck him." 300 applications. They don't even say, "We have received your email, you hear from her." They don't mind her. Because the temptation is to keep her at one place. Only 6 months of being a nun. Sister, she's become a sister. The door has opened. Are you hearing my point? Yes. So if Jesus had not fasted and prayed, the temptation of the devil would have kept. Like, but now Jesus is still in the wilderness praying. But because he fasted and prayed, he had an upper hand over the temptation. The reason for temptation is to reveal that the power of your flesh is stronger than the power of your spirit. That is why you fall. But when you fast and pray, There's power over your spirit to subdue the flesh. The flesh is making demand of you, and the spirit is also making demand of you. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17 to 23. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with what? Each other. So that you do not do what you want. Verse 18. Are you still there? But if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law. Verse number 19. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Number one is what? Sexual immorality. Number two, impurity. Number three, debauch. This excesses. So I said, Pastor, as for me, I drink one crate of Guinness. You are dead. It's your flesh is driving you. And excess. Anything you do, no, you have to do it. Excess. So even if you want to make love, you go and drink aromatic ginger from Nima. Then go to Ashama. You go and drink. You alone, you'll be on a thing 5 years. Anything that you want to do, you do it. Excess is the flesh. Idolatry. Witchcraft. Witchcraft is bad. Hatred. Discord. Jealousy. Fits of rage. Selfish ambition. Dissensions. It means that group. This group, we are not talking to this one. If you are there, you are not my friend. You are my friend. Dissension. Factions. Go ahead. And envy and drunkenness and orgies. Orgies, I can't explain. Google, you see it. And I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. There are certain weight of blessing that you cannot see when you are into these things. Okay, go ahead. Verse 22 says, but the fruit of the spirit, when the spirit dominates you, these are the signs. You walk in love. You have joy. That's when I say, Pastor, I'm down. You'll be up. Joy. You have joy. You have peace. You have patience. You are kind. So a stingy man is only a proof that, ladies and gentlemen, the person is walking in the flesh. So if he's hitting on you and he's stingy, sister, you are not about to date a spiritual man. He is a carnal man. Give the Lord a clap offering. Because if you have the Holy Spirit, you'll be kind. Am I preaching? Yes. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. If you have the Spirit, you'll be gentle. And self-control. Against such things, there is no law. There is nothing under the sun that is against the fruit of the Spirit. Muslims are not against love. Buddhists are not against kindness. Shintoism. They are not against self-control. There is no rule in the world that is against the fruit that a child of God bears. Clap your hands. So, temptation is always in three forms. Like you saw it in Jesus' days. Turn the stone to become bread. Food. F-O-O-D. Brother, when you follow food, you'll be poor, I'm telling you. Because there are some food, when you fire them in the morning, you cannot do anything again. Hey! Do you know a chocolate? There are some food, when you eat it early in the morning, the way you sleep, your day is wasted. Sometimes, to achieve much in life, you don't eat. As all these musicians, those who are into serious music, they don't eat in the morning, though. They don't eat. But there was a curse is the nation whose skin eat in the morning. Early in the morning, you draw your trousers. You remove your shirt. The banku. Hey, you'll be poor. You'll be poor, I'm telling you. Food, temptation, earthly power. Earthly power is recognition. I want to be known. So when we come to church and we say, oh, let's clap for our sister. If you don't clap for our sister, they are not recognizing me. Earthly power. The last one is status, position. Amen. Okay, the last one. Fasting and prayer is a sure guarantee to escape the punishment and the judgment of men and of God. When you fast, even if you have done the thing, God will pardon you. That's very powerful. Listen, the greatest expression of humility is fasting. Proud people cannot fast. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and do what? And pray. Humility is the highest expression of humility is what? Fasting. It is those who are humble that acknowledge the supremacy of God. Proud people cannot fast. When you fast and pray for God's mercy, when you are judged or cursed, the judgment and the curse will not work. Let me show you 1 Kings 21, 20 to 29. Even if you forget anything, don't forget this scripture. Sister, if you have sinned, hello, and if someone has cursed you and you are guilty, but you show remorse, go to God. But go to him in what? Fasting and praying. Be sincere. And when you fast and pray, though you have done it, Bible said, and the lawful captive shall be delivered. The curse will not work. Even if you have done it, you go to God with fasting. Let God know that you have repented. Brother, they can have evidence. It will not work. Are you hearing me? Let's read. Ahab said to Elijah, you know, this is when Ahab and the wife Jezebel killed Naboth and took his vineyard. So God sent Elijah to say some things. So Ahab said to Elijah, so you have found me, my enemy. I have found you, he answered, because you have sold yourself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord. 21. I am going to bring disaster on you. I will consume your descendant and cut off from Ahab every last male in Israel, slave or free. So this is the punishment God is giving to Ahab and Jezebel because they killed an innocent man and took what belongs to him. Watch. I will make your house like that of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and that of Baasha, son of Ahijah, because you have provoked me to anger and have caused Israel to sin. So as for Naboth, they have done his 1 week already. He's dead. But look at something. And also concerning Jezebel, the Lord says, dogs will devour Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Do you remember that this word came to pass? They pushed her down and dogs ate her. Ahab too was judged. But see how Ahab escaped the judgment. Charlie, they are married though. He knows a secret. He didn't tell the wife. A wicked man is a wicked man, whether he's married or not. I'm telling you. Those who eat those belonging to Ahab who die in the city, and the birds of the air will feed on those who die in the country. 25. There was never a man like Ahab who sold himself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord, urged on by Jezebel his wife. God said, in the history of humanity, nobody's wicked. But see something that will shock you. He behaved in the vilest manner by going after idols like the Amorites the Lord drove out before Israel. 27. When Ahab heard these words, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and did what? Kai. He fasted. He lay in sackcloth and went around meekly. So he's walking like, when he said, chief, live long. Listen to what God has said. God said, then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite. 29. Have you noticed how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Hear what God has said. Because he has humbled himself, I will not bring the disaster in his day, but I'll bring it on his house in the days of his son. The guy, the judgment passed over him. His children begin to say, he said, I don't care. I'm a wicked man. I like. He humbled himself and the judgment passed over him. There is power in fasting. You have no idea. He did that, you know. But he humbled. Fasting to who? To God. That I have fast. I took another man's garden. I served idols. But God have mercy on me. The judgment you just pronounced is too much for me. As for my wife, deal with her. But for me, forgive me. The wife didn't pray this prayer. So the wife died. Dogs killed the wife. But the guy did not die by the judgment of not a prophet, of God himself. The guy escaped. And his children are the ones suffering. Are you getting my point? Someone, tell somebody, understand the rules of engagement. Tell the person. Amen. I'll not go further than that. Fasting exonerated him. Different kinds of fasting. We have overnight fasting. You skip dinner. You say, as for today, I'll not eat dinner. Then that night, you seek the face of God in praying, reading God's word, and worship. Fasting for the day, 6 to 6. Fasting for the day, 6 to 6. Fasting, 6 to 6. 2 Samuel 1:12. 2 Samuel 1:12. Okay. And they mourned and wept and fasted until what? Evening. For Saul and for Jonathan, his son. So we have 6 to 6 fast. You wake up in the morning, 6. And then to the evening, 6. Then we have 4 days fast. Acts chapter 10, verse 30. 4 days fast. These are scriptural fasting. There are some people, they fast for 60 days, 100 days. It's not in the Bible. God will not say no. But one, you must know that it's God who is leading you. There are some people, they said they were fasting. Father, use me. Use me. 80 days after they died. They died because there was no balance. There was no wisdom. God was not leading them. That's a religious spirit. There's some people, they argue based on you. How many days have you fasted? I have fasted for 100 days. And so what? 100 days, there's no change in your life. You'll be fasting for 100. It's a religious spirit. Do you know how many of you have heard of Kenneth Hagin? Kenneth Hagin, that man of God. He fasted 3 days once in his life. Even that one, God was down told him that the city you are going to preach, you have to fast for 3 days and 3 nights. Amen. So God must lead you to fast. Amen. So Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. When he was fasting for 4 days, he received angelic visitation. The next one is 7 days fasting. 1 Chronicles 10:12. All the valiant men arose and took the body of Saul and the body of his son, and they brought them to Jabesh and buried their bones under the tamarisk tree at Jabesh, and fasted what? 7 days. We have 14 days fasting. Acts 27:33. And as day was about to dawn, Paul employed them all to take food, saying, today is the 14th day you have waited and continue without food and eating nothing. Amen. Then we have 21 days. Then after that, 40 days. There are a few things to talk about, but I'll leave that one. Maybe another time we will look at them. Amen. 21 days. Daniel chapter 10, 2 to 3. The 21 days fasting we are doing Daniel kind of fast. Amen. Daniel kind of fast is about taking territory. Amen. Myself and my junior brother, we prayed in a town that we grew up at. We prayed, and then we saw something in the spirit. Say, Father, anything that is hanging on this town, let the thing die. Sana, it was the chief of the town. The chief was crossing the road, motorbike hit him and died on the spot. We were fasting and we were praying. When we were praying, something was hanging. Anything hanging on your life, that says you not prosper, let it die by fire. Yeah. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. Did you see that? 21 days fasting. Verse 3. I ate no pleasant food. No meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. The last one, 40 days. Matthew 4, verse 2. That was Jesus himself. Matthew 4, verse 2. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you have been blessed, uplifted, and transformed by the word of God. Kindly subscribe to our podcast and as well follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Peacekeepers Assembly and on Twitter at Peacekeepers International for more updates. Or call our office on 054-6764-890. God bless you. So now